Hey friends, it's Wednesday and we are already in 1 Peter chapter 3, reminding you that there's 5 chapters in the book of 1 Peter. And he starts out today giving some more directions to husbands and wives. It sounds somewhat similar to what Paul says in Ephesians about husbands and wives and their relationships. And I just want to remind you to go back and look at some of the things culturally that he is saying here. And he's talking about beauty again, not coming from outward adornment. Now, again, he's not saying women should never look good. He's not saying that that is a sin in any way, shape, or form. But he is saying that the inner self is what is most important, because it's an unfading beauty, that we are to be beautiful on the inside. He also talks about being considerate as they live with their wives, talking to husbands here, and treat them with respect. And then he says the weaker partner. Now, in the Greco-Roman and the Jewish cultures, they believed women were physically weaker than men, and because of that were more vulnerable. I want to remind you that Peter does say in his writings that women should be treated as spiritual equals or co-heirs to what God has. He spends the rest of the chapter, and I told you at the beginning of 1 Peter, he talks a lot about suffering. And I just want to read some of this to you, and I just want you to soak this in, and then I want you to read it on your own too. But listen to some of these words. These are such great words of wisdom. He says, "Finally, all of you," and he's talking to Christians, "be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not," here it is again, "do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary," and here's a tough one, "repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For," and then he quotes Psalm 34, "whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Let's pick it up again in verse 14. "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." You know, I love how Peter takes this issue of suffering, this issue of being mistreated and slandered against, and compares it to the suffering of Jesus. Not that any of us will ever have any indication of how heavy it was for Jesus to take the sin of the world on his shoulders, not just the physical pain and humiliation of his nakedness and his crucifixion, but the fact that he says, if you're going to be mistreated, if you're going to be hated on by others, just remember Jesus was too. And over again in the Bible, it says that those who are persecuted,
those who, in Matthew 5, say all kind of false things against you, that there'll be a reward waiting for you in heaven. Not that that makes any of us want people to say things about us, but it does remind us that it's not about here and it's not about now. It's about what God has awaiting those who follow Him, even during the difficult times. I want to go back to one part of what I just read to you. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. One more time, I want to read that. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, as many of you know, that word hope is one of my favorite words today and has been for some time. And I shared with you recently in church a verse from Hebrews 6, chapter 19, that says, "But we have this hope, Jesus, as an anchor for our soul, firm and steady." Even when we're tossing around, even when things are difficult, we have the anchor, Jesus, that if we drop the anchor, it's firm and it's steady and we'll make it through every storm. But it says right here, be prepared to give an answer to anybody who asks you about that hope you have. Let me ask you a hard question today. Has anybody asked you to give a reason for the hope that you have in your life? Do you know what that would require? That would require us as Christians, even in dark times, even if in difficult times, it would require us living in such a way that people look at us and they say, "I want what you've got. What is it? How do you have hope in this wrecked world? How do you have hope for the future? How do you have hope for your present circumstances?" And then be prepared to say, "You really want to know? My hope is my anchor, and my anchor is Jesus. And because of that, I will continue to grow in my faith. I will continue to increase my trust in Him." Remember that today as you read. I'll be back with you again tomorrow.